something that very few programs can make lay claim to, and may never be done again. But I mean, that was just something that Northwest broke a mark that was a program record, an MIAA record that dated all the way back to the 30s. So right there shows that is just something that this team can be very proud of.
Yeah, what did we figure up? It was about 637 days between losses for the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team. So an incredible feat, and it's, you know, there's a reason why that, you know, what was it, 42 or 43 back with Henry Iba with Northwest Missouri State in the 30s. There's a reason that record stood for so long, and it's an extremely difficult thing to do. And so despite it coming to a close, a good chance now for the men's team, once the season wraps up and they kind of, you know, take care of business here, to be able to look back on the accomplishments of that and just how impressive that was to win 46 in a row in such a tough conference like the MIAA especially.
Well, they're back in action coming up next week, and a chance to start another winning streak, and may not get to 46 games, but we've got a couple games next week along with the women. So a lot of good things still ahead for this basketball program, both on the men's and women's side.
Yeah, I get to see Central Methodist come in on Monday, then Truman State on Friday, both of those home games for the Bearcat men's basketball team. So, you know, Truman State, a former MIAA foe, and Coach Mack has a lot of respect for the Bulldogs there, so a couple fun matchups at home. And then for the women, to get a chance to go out and take a nice trip and head out to Hawaii and take on a couple good teams. Alaska Anchorage is a team that hasn't had a losing season in 13 years. They're coming off a 30-win campaign. I mean, they've been really a force to be reckoned with there in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference for quite a few years. So that'll be a really fun matchup coming up next Thursday night, actually a 10 o'clock start here Central Time. So have to, you know, set your alarm to wake up after you go to bed at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, Johnson. Wake up to watch that game.
I'm a night owl. I'll be up for that.
Yeah, and then the Bearcats taking a Lindenwood Belleville in the second game from Hawaii coming up on Friday. And that one's a 2 o'clock tip-off here Central Time. So a couple of good games for Bearcats coming on the road, a chance to get away, build some camaraderie with the team, but a couple chances for some really good non-conference victories.
Oh, no doubt about that. As far as track and fields go, it was a busy weekend. Last weekend, the Mel Churchma Classic out at the Hughes Fieldhouse, and some very notable performances out of Northwest Missouri State, as well as, again, a good contingent of other competitors that came in, but Northwest performed very well last weekend.
Yeah, and it's a super busy weekend in the Northwest Missouri State Athletic Department, you know, along with basketball going in one direction and football in another, having to come in and staff this and put together a really good event there at the Mel Churchma Classic. So a tip of the cap to what the athletic department's able to put together there. But, yeah, overall, everybody able to come out and get that first indoor experience of the season on their home track has to be really good. And you know, the most notable, I guess, would be Jordan Cope setting a Northwest Missouri State 5,000-meter record in the indoor, running that in just over 14 minutes. So he was flying. He took second in that event there in the indoor classic for Northwest Missouri State. So a good foundation to build on. And then they also, the MIAA preseason rankings coming out, and the coaches pulled Northwest Missouri State men finishing third in that preseason rankings, getting one first-place vote, the women coming in fifth. So, you know, a good foundation to build upon. But you remember the men's team was picked eighth last year in the indoor season, finished second in the MIAA indoor championship meet. So, you know, both teams picked third and fifth respectively, a chance to really move up and make some hay here in the MIAA.
One final note, too, he mentioned Mel Churchma with the indoor classic being named after Mel. He got a nice honor this week as well. ESPN coming out with their list of the 150 top college football coaches, and Mel goes on that list at number 86.
Yeah, and it's a heck of an honor, and there are so many great coaches listed on that. And the funny part is that the Northwest Missouri State alumni and fans that see that list that got to see him coach are saying, shouldn't he be a lot higher than that? Coach Churchman did a lot of great things here at Northwest, so to be number 86 out of the top 150 of all time, it says a lot, and it's cool that a national media source like that seeing Northwest Missouri State and what he did here with the Bearcats and really laid the foundation for that football program to take off and be what it's been, you know, since getting here in 1994. So a great honor there for Coach Churchma, and, you know, it's been fun to see, you know, how that's been passed along, and how to see Coach Wright taking it over and continuing to build upon what Coach Churchma started.
Yeah, when you look at that list, there's a lot of important coaches that are behind Mel on that list too. So again, a very great honor for Coach Churchma.
Yeah, and the most notable that are directly under him that kind of pop out there, you know, Brian Kelly, who we got to see with Grand Valley State back in the day, who's now at Notre Dame, and Dan Devine, who was a great football coach for the Missouri Tigers and went on to Notre Dame. Those two are behind him. So you kind of look at that, and it's kind of like, oh, that's cool to see that the measurement there of how he stacks up against those guys. And then the top three, I believe, Paul Bear Bryant, Nick Saban, and Newt Rockne, and then it kind of goes on from there. So a lot of really good names. So Coach Churchma in great company once again.
A reminder that the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show is underwritten by the student body with screen printing and embroidery located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. The student body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. Again, we're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to women's basketball. That's all coming up right after this timeout from Carson's, again in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville, an assisted living community that offers residents help with medications, meals, personal care, and more. Information on services or upcoming events is at facebook.com/Oak Point of Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bullseye Trading in Maryville, located at 1115 East 1st Street, open 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bullseye Trading offers guns, ammo, and payday and pawn loans. For more info, 660-241-5013 or on Facebook.
Today's game is supported by State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Codeman in St. Joe, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Welcome back out to Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Northwest Missouri State women's basketball on the road for a pair coming up next week. They're going to be in Hawaii for the Malika Sports Christmas Classic, taking on Alaska Anchorage and Lindenwood Belleville. This week, it's finals week, so Northwest Missouri State with a couple days off. So a couple days off from games, I should say. I assume we have some pretty tough practices. Austin Meyer, one of the members of that team joining us right now. Tough practice this week, right? Getting after them?
Well, we took a few days off so they could focus on finals, but today we've gotten after the last couple days. We've had a really good practice today, so most of them, I think everybody's pretty much done with finals, so they don't have school for like a month, so you can see all the smiles on their faces right now.
Living the life. So joining us here, we have a senior guard, Erica Schlosser. We have a senior guard, Kendi Eaton, a junior guard, Jalen Haggard, and a freshman forward, Jaina Green. Although in today's basketball, Jaina, everybody's a guard, right? Everybody can step out and shoot. So
of course.
That's right. So coming in, it's finals week. You guys have a chance to kind of get away and be away from classes, a chance to kind of just focus on yourselves and get away from a little bit of practice as well. What's finals week been like for the women's basketball team?
It's been kind of crazy, you know, from the beginning of the week until, you know, I'd say today, everybody's kind of cramming, studying. But it's nice when you're done just to kind of focus on basketball and what's ahead for us. So I think all of us have been relaxing in the beginning of the week while we could, and then now we're just ready to play in Hawaii.
Are there any finals tomorrow? Is everybody done?
I have one more.
One more?
Oh, yeah, Kenny's got one. I forgot about that.
How do you get settled with a Friday final like that? That's awful.
I don't know. I think they personally just victimized me on that one.
So you have a couple practices, but you still have a solid week plus with no game. After you get a couple days off and you get back on the court, what's practice like? Is it nice? Is it light? Is it normal? Or are things a little turned up a little bit, the intensity from the coaches?
We don't like to go light. We like to go hard all the time. So, I mean, we're in there conditioning, and they like to mix it up to make us do different conditioning every time. So we're not running pyramids all day long, but it's fun, and it's as light as it can be to make sure we're still getting better.
Coach Meyer, when she says that you guys like to go hard in the intensity? Is that coming from the players that they just can't slow down, or is that the coaching staff pushing the buttons?
I think it's a combination of everybody. You know, we try energy and getting after it is an important part of our program. We start in our preseason. So we try to all come in the gym with a lot of energy and go hard, and I think we've been doing that.
Kendi, a couple basketball games coming up next week in Hawaii, of course, but whenever you get times like this, including Thanksgiving and now Christmas, you're just playing basketball over the holidays. You're not really focusing on classes or anything else, and you're taking a break from that. How does that kind of shift the mindset of a college basketball player that you don't have that stress of, you know, I got to do this, but I got to write this paper and study for a test and everything else going on?
It's just all basketball, and that's what we like, and we get to focus on that, and it's a great time. I love this time of the year.
So we'll dial it back to the previous holiday, and I'm just going to throw this out for whoever wants to answer, whoever's at the forefront of it. What was going on at Thanksgiving? Who was there was a team dinner, and there was some fire.
This is the kitchen fire. You don't know what's coming here.
Yeah, so what exactly happened when the team, just the players got together for a Thanksgiving dinner?
I was not present for the fire, so I wasn't.
I think I'll take this one because I saw it. So we were just cooking in the oven, and the mac and cheese that we had decided to spill over the edge, so we were trying to get it out. And we thought we had fixed it all, but there was still some remnants on the bottom. So we were standing around our kitchen table, and I think we were waiting for Jaina to get there, and we...
Did you have a fire extinguisher?
No, we don't. We didn't have it. She was bringing the pies, so it was like the most important part. So we were trying to wait for her. And I think I went and looked out the back, and I walked back to the kitchen table. I walked by the oven, and I was like, oh, yep, there's a fire. And everyone just freaked out. And it was like the smallest fire ever, and everyone just thought it was like going to blow the whole house up.
It was so funny. Erica was just like, yeah, so there's a fire. And then everyone just starts screaming and going crazy. It's so funny.
Just the calmness of like, oh, hey, you know, don't worry about it. There's a fire. So you're saying is if Jaina would have showed up earlier, you would have taken the mac and cheese out and there wouldn't have been an issue.
Yeah, so basically it's all Jaina's fault.
Be on time, right? Be on time.
Yeah.
That's right. So we'll have Thanksgiving at Carson's next year. We won't let them
know. Wise move. Wise move. And no cooking for Christmas whenever you're in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Speaking of Northwest Missouri State basketball and kind of dialing it back there and away from the cookie skills of the team, the first MIAA opening win for this program since 2012. What's that feel like to come in? And you see Coach talking about trusting the process, but to come out, get that win at Lincoln, how huge was that for the team just to kind of build that momentum as you head into this this December break?
I think we're constantly seen as the underdog, so it was nice to just get out in the beginning of the conference and just kind of throw our first punch and kind of make a name for ourselves. And, you know, we didn't come away with two wins, but I think that was a strong win. And it wasn't our prettiest win, but, you know, that was something we could learn from and take away from, and I think that was a big experience for us.
Erica, there were a couple tough losses to Lincoln last year in games I'm sure you guys feel like you probably would like to have back, but did that feel like kind of a monkey off the back? Hey, we got that first MIAA win. We're a couple games over 500, and that's something to kind of keep building off of.
Yeah, definitely. I think just feeding off of what happened last year, I think that Lincoln was a very important game for us, and we really wanted to take that. So I think learning from our mistakes last year and being able to get that win was really important for our team.
Defensively, the team's been outstanding, just over 50 points per game allowed so far on average. But specifically, you think back to Florida Southern and then against Lincoln. Both games, not allowing a team out of the 30s. I'm going to say you're probably going to win most games if you're not going to allow a team to reach 40 points. Jalen, when you kind of look at the progression of the team overall in that defensive clinic that you put on in both of those games, is that just kind of a sign of what's becoming of this Northwest program and just how tough it is?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we take a lot of pride in our defense. That's something that, you know, we hammer every day in practice. And so coming out into a game, you know, defense wins games at the end of the day. So being able to withhold that and have really strong defense has been huge for us.
Kendi, what's the jump from year one for you at Northwest? And it's also year one for Coach Meyer, but jumping into year two, how have you seen this team mature and grow in the last 365 days?
I think that we're a lot closer together, just on and off the court. I think that goes a long way for team chemistry and just knowing our tendencies and stuff like that. I just think that we're a lot more confident, too. You see so many people in the gym every single day working to get better, and I think that is super huge, and we're seeing that kind of play out offensively for us. I had to get the ball rolling a little bit more, but you can, I see it.
Jana, you got your first taste of MIAA basketball over the weekend, taking on Lincoln and Central Missouri and going to a pair of places that are tough to play on the road. What was that like of getting in those environments and getting your first taste?
I really like playing environments like that because it kind of hypes you up, like especially Lincoln with the band and the people, and like it's kind of crazy, but it's also really fun. So,
what's the biggest jump going from high school basketball in Omaha to coming to Northwest Missouri State?
I think it's just like the speed, maybe not necessarily like physical speed, but like mentally, like, hey, I do this, now I do this, the shots up, box out, rebound, go. Like, it's just like there's no time to like stop and think, really.
So coming to Northwest Missouri State and you played at Millard North High School, what drew you to be a Bearcat?
This was the first place that I ever visited, like, for college, and I feel like I knew right away that I wanted to come here, but I was scared that I would miss something if I didn't, like, go everywhere I could possibly go. But I feel like since the, like, first day I, like, stepped on this campus, I, like, knew I wanted to be here.
Who of the three at the table right now, player-wise, was the closer? Who locked you in at Northwest Missouri State?
Well, I met Jalen the first time I came because neither of them were here.
So oh, like, yeah, yeah.
So I guess I'd have to start going.
Well, made it easy for you.
Well, and transferring in Kendi and Erica coming into Northwest Missouri State, thinking back to it, was it kind of that long-term plan of seeing what Coach Meyer's vision was for the program that got you here?
Yeah, I think that and just feeling comfortable around all the girls just right off the bat was really big. And, yeah, I'm excited that I'll be look back at this experience and think that we were here whenever he first took off, and I think that's awesome.
Same here for me. Like, he was such a big influence in my decision to come here. Just his positive attitude and positive mindset was just something that I didn't have at my old school. So being able to have that was like a super big factor for me. And then, I mean, the girls are awesome. Community's awesome. It's just a great town to be in.
And Jalen, from St. Joe, going to Central High School. And, of course, Coach Meyer, I feel like I saw him there quite a bit when he was recruiting for the men's team. But he was always around as a presence. His wife, obviously, was a pretty good basketball player at Central. So you kind of had those connections already, right?
Yeah, definitely. His wife was my counselor in high school, so I already kind of had that connection. But
that'd be nice, too, whenever he kind of takes over the program. I know him. It's this old.
Yeah, definitely.
We're talking Northwest Missouri State basketball with the women's basketball team. We have Austin Meyer head coach, Erica Schlosser, Jalen Haggard, Kendi Eaton, and Jana Green. Trip coming up to Hawaii. Who's been to Hawaii?
I have.
Erica?
I've never been on a plane.
Jana? You've never been on a plane?
No.
It's a huge trip for you.
Yeah.
Are you nervous?
Not yet. Maybe when I get on.
Most of them aren't 9 hours, though. So,
well, that's
gets,
true.
A nice long trip for the first one.
How you guys have been out there? Is that difficult hopping on a plane for that long, taking all that in?
I flew out of California the first time I went there, so it was only like 5 hours. So I'm a little nervous. Flew out of Chicago, but I think it'll be okay.
I mean, I think it's just you're going to Hawaii, so I don't really care how long that's going to take. Like, I'm not going to be in cold. It's not going to snow. I'm going to lay on a beach. I'll sit on a plane for 24 hours to get there.
Who's most likely to wheels up, bam, they're going to be out. They're going to sleep for the next 8 hours, and you won't hear from them.
Kendi Eaton.
You think so?
Yes.
I would have said hopefully. Mallory McConkie. I feel like she's
Mallory McConkie. Oh, my goodness. She sleeps everywhere.
It's a talent. It's a
yeah,
skill.
It is. Yeah.
Who's going to be the one to freak out? Jalen aside, since she's never been on a plane, that might happen anyway.
I was going to say Mia.
Mia freaked out about the fire. She freaks out about everything.
Well, a couple big games coming up, and it starts on Thursday with Alaska Anchorage. But how do you go from that environment of it's tropical, you're in Hawaii, it's not cold, it's not Maryville, that you have to get that laser focus to be ready for a basketball game?
I think all in all, we know it's still a business trip, so we're focusing on each game one at a time and being able to compete. And I think both of these teams are going to be a challenge for us, but, you know, that's the point of going all the way to Hawaii to compete against two really great teams. So just keeping our focus no matter where we're at and enjoying the experience while we're there.
Kendi, does the time change affect it at all? That, I mean, especially with essentially a 10 o'clock start for that first game.
I don't know.
Do you have to get like a mid-morning nap in?
Oh, naps are really important. So
have 9 hours on the plane.
Hence the sleeping on the plane.
That's true. Okay.
We get up at 5:30 every morning, bring energy. Not every morning, but
that's
why we're built for that.
Afternoon naps are perfect.
Yeah. You got to use to kind of fight the jet lag
right
after that day. But what's the biggest takeaway other than going out and trying to get a couple wins, obviously, on the trip? But what's the one thing you want to come away with from a chance to fly out to Hawaii and spend 4 or 5 days?
I honestly think we'll just grow as a team and become closer. It's great team bonding to be in Hawaii and be on a beach and get to experience all this stuff. Like going to Pearl Harbor, I went when I went to Hawaii last, and it was awesome to see all that stuff and see history like that. So I think just experience that with our team, it will be awesome.
Jana, your first time on a college basketball team, of course, and just a freshman, but how has that grown of the relationships of getting on campus? And I'm sure it feels like you're spending about every waking minute with these girls. How does that bond just continue to grow? And then obviously a trip like this will kind of add to it, but what's it been like?
It's kind of hard to explain because, like, I don't really see them as my team. It's more like just like friends. It's like built-in friends when you come to college, and it's like really nice that you don't have to put in a lot of effort to go out and make friends, because I don't really like doing that much. So, like, it's really nice that everyone's really welcoming and friendly. So I like it a lot.
Outside of basketball, what are we most looking forward to in Hawaii?
Some sun. Yeah, yeah. The weather,
for sure.
You're not going to miss overcast skies and wind? And
I don't think I will. No.
All right. And obviously Christmas is coming up. What's top Christmas movie of all time?
Elf.
Christmas Vacation.
Home Alone.
Good choice.
Home Alone, I really classic. Like the new Grinch. I watch it probably twice a week. So.
Even when it's not Christmas?
Yeah.
Coach Meyer?
I got to go Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Classics.
Good choice.
Classic.
And if we had to pick one of your coaches, who is the best voice probably for Christmas caroling, just to belt them out?
Macy Williams.
Yeah, I'd say Macy.
Go Macy.
Yeah.
Macy, like legitimate good voice, not just like making fun of her sort of thing?
Yeah,
no,
legitimate
voice. If you're going to make fun of a coach, she has the worst voice?
Houston.
Maybe Houston. We haven't heard of
They haven't heard ours.
So. Yeah.
This is the trip to do with it.
Yeah, they need to get out of their comfort zone a little bit.
We'll work on it.
And who's the worst singing voice of the players?
Oh, goodness.
I'm going to say Maligan for that one. Might as well.
She's getting thrown under the bus this week.
It's all love, though, so it's okay.
Well, good luck this upcoming week. A couple games in Hawaii, and hopefully come away with a couple wins and some sun at the same time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State basketball players Erica Schlosser, Jana Green, Jalen Haggard, Kendi Eaton, and head coach Austin Meyer joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little more basketball with Austin Meyer here from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.COOP.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering locksmithing, lock installation, repairs, rekeying, and high security master key system setup and maintenance. More at 660-582-3131 or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Back in Carson's for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Northwest Missouri State basketball with this week off, but the women's team picking back up next week. They'll be taking on Alaska Anchorage on Thursday at 10 o'clock start here Central Time, and then Lindenwood Bellevue at 2 o'clock on Friday. Both those games being played in Honolulu, Hawaii, part of the Malika Sports Christmas Classic. Head coach Austin Meyer still with us here, and this has to be a fun one, just to be able to get away. The sole focus is basketball, but also some nice scenery around at the same time.
Yeah, we got some good things planned, and then we'll have a full day after we're done playing that last day, just to kind of hang out and enjoy the weather and the scenery.
Did you get some games like this when you were with Coach Tapp to go to a Hawaii or a tropical place?
Yeah, we went my junior year, and then we went with Mac. I don't remember what year it was, so this will be the third time that I've been out there. But it's like the girl said, it's fun to get away with just your team, focus on growing even more as a unit, focusing on getting after it, winning some games, and then having some fun as well.
Is this one that, especially earlier in your tenure as a head coach, but then also quite a few young players, that it's nice to be able to just get away with something like this? It feels like overall it's a young program that you're trying to continue to build those bonds and win games. So sometimes games like this are better for the younger team as opposed to the team that might have more veteran presence.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's one thing that we want to do as a program coming in. We talked about it in recruiting is, you know, we want to take trips like this. You know, it's probably not going to be every year from a financial standpoint, but if we can take one every 3 or 4 years, you know, one other thing, a team banquet when we took over. I think last year was the first time there had been a team banquet in 6 or 7 years. So little things like that, we want to help grow our program, and I think it'll be a great experience for our kids.
Well, you dial it back last week and about this time that you're taking on Lincoln. And, you know, the first quarter, I think, was low scoring. You're down by 3 at the end of the first quarter. But, man, girls really turned things up, and you guys kind of went off there from the second quarter on. How huge was that? We talked about it with them a little bit, but knock out that first MIAA victory right away.
Yeah, it was big for us, you know, and I think, you know, it's a different environment. We talk about it with the band and the energy in there. So we struggled taking care of the ball the first quarter. I think we had 11 turnovers in the first quarter. But second quarter, we did a much better job of taking care of it. I thought we defended the whole game. You know, we talked about the turnovers early, too many second chance opportunities. I think they had, you know, 15 offensive rebounds. If you take away their second-chance points and their points off turnovers, they scored 3 points in that game, in a 40-minute game against our half-court defense. So, you know, we went back and watched the film. But, yeah, it was a huge first win for us. You know, a team that beat us twice last year, to go get that first league win on the road in that environment was big.
So for people that haven't been to Jason Gymnasium before, and that was my first trip, across the way from the visitor's bench is the band, and it's a fantastic drum line, but it gets super loud in that gym. How are you communicating in a huddle?
It's tough. You know, I don't know if they listen anyways, but it's really hard to hear anybody in the huddle. So you try to get, you know, catch them on times when the band's not playing. But it's a fun atmosphere, and their band's really good. And like Jana said, it can also help kind of get you hyped up too from a player standpoint as well.
The next game, you take on Central Missouri last Saturday, and that's one where you're up by 1 point at halftime and a good surge there to end the second quarter. And Central Missouri came out, played well in the second half. You end up losing 70-50. But that has to feel good to see the team come out in a tough environment like that and start well, play well in the first half, and make Coach Schleifer sweat a little bit.
Yeah, we played really well to start the game. I thought we defended at a high level. We were playing with confidence, making shots. Second half, we really struggled to score. You know, there, end of the third quarter, with 3 minutes left, it was a 3-point game. And then you look up, and, you know, at the end of the third, it ended up being 12. So they made a run there late. We had some turnovers, you know, gave up some offensive rebounds. And it doesn't take long for teams like that to make a run. But, you know, for our program to go into a place like that and play like that the first half, you know, obviously we're not into the moral victories, but it was a step forward, I think, for our program, knowing that we competed with one of the best teams in the country, you know, a team that just came off a close game against Drury at Drury. To compete with them, we put ourselves in a position in the second half to have a chance to win, and hopefully we can grow on that.
A couple games already against good Division II basketball teams that, you know, you're allowing less than 40 points in both of those, and just over 50 overall for the season per game. Is it just one year to the next of understanding what you're trying to drive home, or is it just kind of finding the right buttons to push with these particular girls?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, having a year under their belt in our system has definitely helped. And then you look at the people we brought in this year with our freshman class and our transfer, Ellie Horn. And then our kids that have been in the program just getting that much better in the offseason. So they're really buying in defensively. You know, we've struggled a little bit offensively, but that's something I think that'll come the more we play and the more we're out there. But our girls have put a ton of time in, getting in the gym with Coach Houston. We've talked about it all year. They're in the gym all throughout the day, and it's going to pay off. We know that, and it's just one day at a time getting better.
It's the end of the season, and you kind of want to look at what happens there to really, I guess, how you're putting your stamp on the program. But Northwest hasn't been over 500 at this point in the season since 2012-2013. Does it feel good to see against a tough non-conference so far and in a couple tough conference games that the dividends are there?
Yeah, and you know, our main focus is, like we said, is just getting better every single day, doing the little things, trying to improve one day at a time. But you know, we've been the games, even the games we lost. You look at Wayne State, who's I think 7-8-1 maybe right now. It was a one possession game at the end of regulation. You look at McKendree, who last check was, you know, 7-2. You know, good Division II teams. That was a game that we felt like we should have won. We were up 10 in the third quarter and couldn't close it out. Ended up going to overtime. So competing every single night out. You know, the one slip up I think we had and we talked about as a team was the Maryville game. We just didn't feel like we were really into that game. But other than that, I felt like we've been ready to go. We've competed, and that's definitely a good thing.
A very, very good Alaska Anchorage team coming up
yes.
next week at this time. 12th in the country, and I think they've won 30, like three of the last 4 years. They're a good program. What are keys to getting a win there?
Yeah, we're going to take care of the ball. You know, they run a full-court man press, run and jump, trap. They'll go back into a zone that they'll just run around and trap. And it's a little bit different style, but they've had a lot of success with it. So we're going to bring our Logan and our scout guys in tomorrow to try to simulate it. So I hope they're ready for a workout. But we'll have to take care of the ball, make simple plays, and defend at a high level. And defensive rebounding is one thing that we continue to stress that we got to get better at. And that's going to be big in that game.
Logan will give you 2 good minutes and he'll be out. I mean, he's had his medical issues here in the last week or so. Is that one that you can look at Alaska Anchorage and say, you're your own program, you're separate, but that's where we're striving to be, the success that they've had?
Yeah, and definitely, you know, look at the teams that we played this year, with Florida Southern being a 30-win team last year. Alaska Anchorage, like you said, top 15 in the country right now. These are Central Missouri, at Central Missouri. We're playing really, really good Division II teams, and you know, even our Division I team with Northern Iowa. So we're playing against really good competition, and that's only going to make us better.
Coach, appreciate the time. Pack your sunscreen next week.
All right, we'll do. You too.
Yeah. Austin Meyer, Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach, joining us here on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. They're taking on Alaska Anchorage next Thursday night at 10 o'clock. We'll have pregame at 9:30 here on the Bearcat Radio Network, and then Lindenwood Bellevue coming up at 2 o'clock on Friday. We're going to take a time out. When we come back, we will have more here from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuildings, shops, and garages. More on Bearcat Lumber services at 660-562-0300.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Journal in downtown Maryville. And joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. Ben, good to have you with us on the show this year.
It's great to be here, John.
Ben, I've got a question for you, though. We leave you alone for one Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
And it seems like all heck breaks loose for you. What happened down in Warrensburg?
It would be we just didn't play overly well. That's what happened. It's interesting. It's in basketball and just in sports when you have success, and we've won a lot in a row, and we lose, and then you'll go out and go to the grocery store, you'll see somebody, and they kind of look at you like, am I supposed to talk to him? It's almost like a relative died or something. It'll be fine. We're good. We're gonna make it. And sometimes those I'm not a cliche guy, and sometimes those things are a good thing. I think for the kids it probably is, just because sometimes there's some need for some external motivation, and that's what that is. And we didn't play very well at all, and we didn't really try a whole lot, and that's more the thing that concerns me than anything.
When you look at this 46-game winning streak, it's just amazing. I know during that streak, especially the last few weeks, that's something you really didn't want to talk much about, but now that the streak is complete, and just look back at what an accomplishment that really was for your team.
Yeah, and I think that's what we said after the game. I think the big thing with them is they are 18 to 22-year-olds, and their expectations to perform are very high because of the expectations that they set for themselves and some of the accomplishments they've had. They've set that bar pretty high. But with 18 to 22-year-olds to consistently be ready every single night, that's very difficult to do. I think the second part of that is you saw when they weren't ready that anybody could beat them. And I think that says even more about how well they've performed for that amount of time, because they can be beat. It's not that it's just, hey, we just out-talent people. Hey, we've got better players. We've got really good players. But the big part of that is we've got really good players that are mentally tough, mentally prepared, and at their best every game.
I know this is something that you talked about throughout as well, but you get everybody's best shot game after game with that target on your back, a two-time champion, national champion, a defending champion this year coming in, to where no team comes in overlooking you guys. They're coming out and they're going to give you your best shot every game, and to be able to do that for 46 games in a row and pick up a win is something that to really be proud about.
Yeah, teams are pretty engaged. It was interesting. I looked at even the stats from the Central Missouri game, and I looked at their shot charts from the year, just – and it was like a bunch of contested 15-footers, which in basketball isn't something that you really want to take. And I'd swear each game they'd take 20 to 25 contested 15-footers, which are bad shots. In our game, I think they took two. So, it's just interesting. And that's just like a mathematical – it's very obvious, the energy and effort, and I can say that. But then on top of it, they actually play with some kind of intelligence – or intelligence that they hadn't played with before, and it couldn't be more indicative of our game against them. It's like, okay, so now you're going to not settle for contested 15-footers. You're actually going to take layups and threes, and so it's interesting, but that's what we signed up for, and that makes us better.
How often do you see a game plan from an opponent that's completely different from what they've done up to that particular point in the season when they play you guys?
Every single game. You know what? Take that back. Every single game except for the teams that are towards the top of the league. The teams that are towards the top of the league will make slight adjustments, and then they will they'll make slight adjustments, and so they don't change for every single opponent. Like the bottom of the league, they're gonna throw some random defense at you. They're gonna throw some random ball screen coverage at you. And something that they haven't shown to try to hey, if we beat Northwest, this will make our season. And so, but your top teams will stay pretty basic.
Let's go back to last Thursday at Jefferson City with the win over Lincoln University. And that is just a tough atmosphere to go in and play. It's a fun atmosphere, I think, if you go in with the right attitude there, because the place is loud. The band really has a lot of fun and gets the crowd going. And it's a unique atmosphere you don't get anywhere else in the conference. And your team is able to go in and really execute well in that atmosphere.
Yeah, I don't consider that place tough. I guess tough in the sense that the crowd's going to get on you. They're going to be loud. You can't really hear a whole lot. I guess tough in the sense of that. If they get on a run, you're going to have problems. I think one of the toughest places to play is Central, because it's like it's dead in there, because it's so big and there's just not a big fan base. And so it just like kind of sucks the life out of you a little bit. But Lincoln, they got one of the best atmospheres in the league. I mean, it's so fun, and their band's awesome, and their crowd's engaged the whole game. And shoot, sometimes if you're playing well, they'll cheer for you too. So, you know, we had a couple dunks. They had the whole crowd cheering for the Bearcats. All of a sudden, they wanted to switch to green. But no, it was a fun game.
Yeah, that one by Diego in particular, that was a crowd favorite for them, I think.
Yeah, I think it was the crowd favorite. I think it was our team favorite. It's definitely Diego's favorite. Ironically, we actually got 1 point out of the deal.
Yeah.
You know? So he gets teed up, and the other guy gets teed up. We make two free throws. They make one. I mean, that was all in his plan, to see if he could get the other guy to get one too. So,
Hawkins had quite a night too, 43 points in that game. He's had a 44-point performance and a 43-point performance this season. And, boy, when he gets on a roll like that, and it seems like he does it within the offense too. It's not like he's dominating things out there. It's coming within the offense, and things just start flowing when he's having a night like that.
Yeah, I mean, the offense runs through him a little bit, you know, and so – that's what happens, and he was hot. We kept feeding him. Need to make sure that we continue to feed him. Need to make sure that he's getting the shots that he needs. And I thought in that game we found him a bunch. We just need to make sure that we consistently do that more often.
Well, finals week this week, so you've had the week off, getting ready for a couple of non-conference games next week, starting Monday with Central Methodist, and then next Friday, Truman State. Talk about getting back on track here with a couple games coming up next week.
Well, we've had two really good practices, and so hopefully that carries over to the next two games. You know, it's a great opportunity to kind of assess what you can improve on, and we've done that, and we've adjusted some things, haven't changed anything, just adjusted some things, and, you know, we'll be better for it. A lot of it was just we just didn't give a lot of effort, and so you don't want to reinvent the wheel, but if you get into a game like that, you need to make sure that you're ready in case you're just off, where you have options to go inside and stuff like that. We've adjusted to that now.
I know all teams have to deal with this going through the Christmas break and trying to make sure the team's back and ready to roll for really the bulk of the season, the bulk of the conference season around the turn of the year here. What are some of the things you try to do with this team to make sure they get through Christmas and are ready to play the rest of the way here?
Right now, do with the team, or just over Christmas?
Just, over the Christmas time, since it'll be a while since we'll be back with the show here.
Yeah, it's tough because they get a long break, and so sometimes that can be beneficial if they stay in shape, if they do things, if they get a sweat consistently. It can be really beneficial. If they don't do anything, then you got problems when you come back, where you can have injuries and stuff like that. But I think, you know, they'll be engaged, hopefully, and if they're not, then they don't deserve to win, so we'll just, you know, go into it, compete, and you know, hopefully have a good Christmas break.
And does the break help from a mental standpoint more than a physical standpoint? Because basketball can be such a long season where they kind of get just a little bit of a break here and a chance to see family and things.
I always say, in basketball, and even in most sports, your mental goes before your physical. So they'll get mentally fatigued before they get physically fatigued. A lot of times when you get mentally fatigued, then that creates physical fatigue on top of it, where an ache, you know, a tired legs, it becomes worse because of the mental fatigue that goes with it. So it is important to make sure that we keep things fun, that we keep things light, and that we understand that it's a lot more mental than it is physical, and that Christmas break will certainly help with that.
All right. Well, Coach, good to have you with us on the show, and we'll talk to you Monday before the game.
Thanks a lot, John.
Again, that's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. The Northwest will be back in action coming up Monday night as they face Central Methodist. That will be a 6 o'clock tip-off at Bearcat Arena. We'll have their broadcast beginning at 5:30 with our pregame activities leading into that tip-off. So that's coming up on Monday. Then again on Friday, they are back home as they face Truman State, a former MIAA team. They'll be coming its way back to Maryville for a 6 o'clock tip next Friday as well. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. It's the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show continues after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet from Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Baumley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile corner south of Maryville. Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And with us now is a person that you see behind the scenes at every home game, whether it's football, basketball, anything going on, the Sports Information Director and Assistant Athletic Director for Media Relations, Colin McDonough, with us. And Colin, good to have you with us on the show here tonight.
Thank you, John. I'll do my best Rich Wright impersonation here when I can. So,
right, you do a good one. So, well, let's just kind of talk about the fall that has been for Northwest Missouri State. It's just incredible the success. Really, all the teams have had this past fall. Whether you're talking football, whether you're talking cross country, talking volleyball, soccer's had a good fall as well. It just seems like everyone is having a great season up throughout the fall and kind of a golden era at Northwest Athletics right now.
When the year started up in August and coming to now, you if you tried to tell somebody this is the amount of success you would have all across the board, you wouldn't believe it. But just seeing it was believing. I mean, talk about it, the women's soccer team qualifying for their first MIAA tournament since 2012, almost setting a scoring record, a goal record for them, an assist record they did set. Fantastic fall for Coach Gordon. You go to Nick Gibson, the cross-country team. The men finished fifth in the country, and they were ranked at 10-12, moved their way up to fifth in that final ranking, final finish. Certainly tremendous. Amy Worth and the volleyball team, they were ranked as high as number 10 in the country for the first ever time for that program to be ranked number 10 and as high as it got. Ended up with 22 wins, back-to-back 20-win seasons for the first time in 20 years. They also qualified for the MIAA tournament, won their first tournament match since 1992. And then you go on to this, certainly this football team. The last 3 years, I've only been here for the last two, but I certainly saw the progression from 9 wins in Rich's first year, then the last year getting 10 wins, and then this year getting 12 wins, another MIAA title, advancing through the tournament. So the first round in 17 to the second round in 18, and now the third round quarterfinals in 19. It's just been a joy for me as an alum to be a part of all the success of these programs across the board. And it's certainly going on into the winter sports here with indoor track, putting on a phenomenal performance in the Hughes Fieldhouse this past week at the Mel Churchman Classic. Coach Austin Meyer turning the women's program around, already with a winning record heading into December. And then Coach Mack Although he lost a game, I think he'll be able to bounce back and get some more wins here. I think his career is going
to
be all right.
I think he's in good shape right now. Another loss or two, we might have to question things. Just kidding there. But let's talk about something you brought up with Rich Wright and the fact that he's just the third head coach in Bearcat history to increase his win total in each of the first three seasons as head coach, going back to 1923 through 1925 with H.F. Lawrence. And contrary to popular belief, I was not doing the games at that particular time. But he goes from 3 to 6 to 7. Then Mel Churchman, who had the big honor this week by being listed number 86 of the all-time greatest college coaches, top 150 by ESPN. He goes from 0 wins in 94, 6 to 95, and 11 to 96. And then you look at what Rich was able to do. Really might have been tougher than any of those. He goes from 9 wins to 10 to 12. So it's not like he had a low total to build with to start in. He had success really from that first year to be able to go and do something that only two other coaches in the history of the program have been able to do.
Yeah, with those first two, there was a zero involved a little bit. So it's easier to start from zero and work out. When you start at 9, you make it a little bit tougher on yourself.
Yeah.
But Rich has done a fantastic job. He's been great to work with, does a great job with the student-athletes, with the coaching staff, and just seeing the progression of where they're going. You can certainly see it's headed down the right path. Sometimes I think you set some standards that this program, and for good reason. I mean, they've won 6 national championships, and you won titles in 13, 15, and 16. So when the bar is set that high, and then you only get 9 wins or 10 wins or 12 wins, to some, if you're not at 15-0, that's a tough season. Well, that's not true. This league is tough. There are some tough road opponents you're going to play week in and week out. But to keep improving, to go to 9, to 10, to 12, that just shows that they're headed down the right path, and Rich has the horses in place to make this thing happen.
Yeah, and I think next year is going to be another fun year for Bearcat football. And going back to what we talked about with Ben McCollum, it's a case for every Saturday you're getting the other team's best shot, because obviously that target on the back with the tradition Bearcat football is something that the rest of the schools strive to get to, and they're going to come into each and every Saturday really with their A game going against the Bearcats.
That is a very valid point and a huge point as you go into each week. I think sometimes other programs in this league you might play them, you look at them, well, big deal, we can get by with a subpar effort this week. But whenever Northwest is in town, you know that you're going to get the best shot from that team, because if they know if they can beat you, that's going to help put a good mark on their program. This year with Kearney, it was no different. Kearney didn't have a great year, but when we came to town, they put on their best effort that I had seen from them all throughout the year, and they put it all together. Now, did Northwest play their best game that day? Probably not. But it still was a good game, and Kearney had to do everything they could to win that game, to put everything in place, and they just happened to do it that one night.
And, of course, a loss last Saturday in the quarterfinals of the Division II playoffs to a very good Ferris State team that probably, I think, has to be a favorite to most likely win it all, too. They're a very good squad, and Northwest was with them right to the very end.
Yeah, that was a very, very competitive game. It was 3-0 at halftime. Bearcat defense had come up with some huge stops. One at the 20-yard line and another right at the goal line right before the half. Because if Ferris scores right there before the half, it's 10-0, and they get the ball to start the second half. Bearcats hold them. It's 3-0 at halftime. They're right in it. Ferris did come down and score, made it 10-0 second half. But if they'd have added that other score, it's all of a sudden it's 17-0, and you're really fighting it. Then obviously Northwest came back, got the field goal, cut it to 10-3, right in the ball game, and then just some field possession things that came into play. You just couldn't move the ball enough to get points. But defensively, it was a very strong effort and helped Ferris State. They got some cheap points at the end with the safety, the fake punt that didn't work out so well. They gave them the short field. They got another field goal. Obviously that safety was big, and then they scored that late touchdown that really it had no bearing on the end of the game. I mean, the final probably should have been 18-3, but they got it in, so it's 25-3. But I mean, defensively, that was one of the best performances you could put up, and even though it looks like 25-3, it really certainly was not that at all.
You know, one thing that when we go around the conference, around different places that we play, when we go up on the road against other teams, a lot of people involved with the other schools are very envious of what Northwest has, not only wins and losses, but from behind the scenes. This is something that we know very well, and you've been through some other programs before coming to Northwest, both at Division II and Division I, that we're very blessed just with the people we work with from week to week behind the scenes. They couldn't make our jobs any easier.
Well, I take great joy in helping our radio crew. I'll give you some jokes here and there to make it a little more difficult on you. But working with the newspaper guys, with TV folks, anybody that's trying to promote this program, we're here to help them and do the best we can from a news and notes standpoint to just being nice, just helping them out. Somebody needs something, we're going to do whatever we can to make their work easier and make your job just a little bit easier of telling the story of Bearcat Athletics.
And really from a wire standpoint of working with the coaches and the players, it's just a special group we get to work with every week.
There's not a coach or student athlete that I've run into on this campus that I don't like. Everything has been great. That's not always the case. Every stop where you are, sometimes you got to deal with difficult individuals along the way. But here at Northwest Missouri State, fantastic administration, fantastic coaches, fantastic student athletes, and then I guess maybe the radio crew is difficult at times to deal with, but I'm just kidding.
Got one final question for you, Colin. How does a person from hails from Central Iowa become a Philadelphia Phillies, Philadelphia Eagles, and I think 76ers fan?
That's certainly very rare from the southern perch of Osceola, Iowa, right there at the connection of Highway 34 and Interstate 35. I would say from age 5, about 1980, the Phillies were in the World Series against many people's beloved Royals and George Brett. I liked Mike Schmidt at the time. The Sixers were in the finals against the Lakers, and the Eagles were in the Super Bowl for the first time against the Raiders. And I just remember reading the Sunday paper from the Des Moines Register. It was the Big Peach. I'd just lay it out and just start studying standings, stats, things like that. And I always saw Philadelphia at the top, and I didn't really have any pro sports teams in Iowa, so I just kind of gravitated towards that. And I liked the Eagles. I liked the Sixers. I liked the Phillies, and I was stuck with it. There's been a few lean years, but I've been able to see a Phillies World Series title in 2008. The Sixers won a title in 83. I was pretty young at that one. And then the most recent one was certainly Nick Foles' title where they beat the Patriots. So that was pretty cool to see all three of those teams win a championship.
And I guess that early love of going through the sports page and the box scores and everything kind of led to your career now, too.
It certainly did. Sports has been a big part of my life from just growing up playing Little League baseball to playing some tennis to playing golf to playing football, basketball, any sport along the way. It was just fun just to get out and be outside and play sports. And do that, and then eventually, when you're not as good as the others, you got to turn to some other aspects of being a part of it. And I got into kind of writing and keeping stats of the games. And so, even though I'm not in the game, I'm still pretty close to it. I'm still down near the front row. Football, it's a little different being up in the press box, but at a basketball game or baseball, softball, or any of those sports, you're right near the action, and that's as cool as it gets. And I've had so many memories through the years. Being a part of beating the number one ranked Kansas Jayhawks in the 2010 NCAA tournament was phenomenal. You grew up watching the NCAA tournament thinking there's no way any of these upsets are going to happen. And then I'm sitting there in Oklahoma City in that front row watching the UNI Panthers defeat Kansas. And that was just one of the great highlights of just seeing that people around the country are watching this game. And all of a sudden I'm like, I'm here. I'm part of this. And this is really happening.
All right, Colin, thanks a lot for being with us on the show. And, again, thanks for everything you do to help make our jobs a lot easier.
Thank you, John.
Colin McGonagher with us from Northwest Missouri State's Athletic Department. We'll be back and wrap up our show tonight from Carson's right after this timeout on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Services, offering residents throughout Northwest Missouri amenities including high-speed internet, television, and phone services. For more information on products and availability, unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and First Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store or at pizzaranch.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family and offer a variety of services including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Gardner Family Dentistry welcomes new patients. More information at MarryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV K&W Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports School in downtown Maryville. As we wrap things up, we still can't get rid of Colin McDonald. He's still with us, and Trenton's over there taking it easy. So
yeah, Matt said I can say goodbye to all the listeners who are missing him right now, but he'll be back. We'll take a little break here. Then I'm sure we'll be back maybe after the new year, maybe January 2nd is what we're looking at, I think, for the next show. So
yeah, we're going to send him to Hawaii. I don't know if that's right or not.
He's got a tough assignment. He's going to get a little tanner, work the beach scene a little bit, call some games.
Yeah, that's right, and that's coming up next week out in Hawaii. And real quick, let's just talk about Hawaii. What we got coming up next week?
There's something in Hawaii. Is that?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, the women play two games there, Alaska Anchorage and Lindenwood Belleville. Two quality opponents. Certainly Austin didn't do the right bargaining when he was working with Coach Steinmeier on that deal. So he was hoping to get a couple of winnable games, and there certainly are, but I think Alaska Anchorage is certainly going to be a tough task in that first game.
All right, then men next week as well. They're at home, Central Methodist and Truman State. So those ought to be a couple of good opportunities for the fans to come out and watch a little men's basketball.
And so we will not play for the Hickory Stick in that men's game.
I don't think so.
Up for grabs.
It ought to be, don't you think?
I would think since football is no longer playing them, you could just put it into a basketball deal, and we could still beat them with that stick.
All right, let's talk to Andy Peterson this week, see what happens there.
Sounds good.
All right. For Colin McDonough and a little bit of help from Matt Trent tonight, I'm John Coffey. So long from Carson Sports Girl in downtown Maryville.